The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello and welcome, everyone. You know, last week, we got such a fabulous response to addressing our listeners' questions and other venues, questions that are asked and stories that are shared, that we're going to follow up with that today as well. And it's an opportunity. You know, essentially, this program moving forward focuses on small businesses. What is a small business up to 200 million? Wow. Some of you may just have balked at that. Well, you know, I've got a $10 million business, or you know what? I just started and we just crossed the 6-figure mark and we are so excited. You have no idea what a coup this is, what an accomplishment this is. I had an idea, a thought, and now it exists in reality. And there's, people who will benefit from the product or service I offer. And I literally have, generated in revenue, gross revenue perhaps, or ideally in net, over 100,000 or 200,000. We just crossed the 500,000 mark, and now you're saying 200 million. Well, I want to take a moment and put that in perspective of the billion-dollar multinationals, right? So it's not small business, meaning you just started and you don't have a lot of money. Small business has a much broader definition, okay? And how exciting that we have that bandwidth and that place where what we were striving for or what our next goal is, you know, may still have us be in that category. And it doesn't mean that it's not a big deal, that what we're doing is not a big deal. That is a categorization, the kind of criteria that determines it in terms of from a business perspective. If you're looking at the Small Business Administration in the United States, or what determines and signifies a small business. However, anyone that's in business, it's a big deal. And what you do matters. And those of you who know me and have been around and listening know that I don't fluff. I don't make it pretty and put it in a neat, tidy little bow. That the work we're doing matters. And, you know, last week we talked about best practices. We talked a bit about funding. We talked, you know, in terms of starting your own business and getting stuck. One of the things that came back were some great responses in terms of best practices in business. And I just want to circle back to that for one moment and point out that consider in your business, what would other companies want to model or emulate? Like, is it your customer service? Is it your systems and infrastructure? Is it the way the team collaborates and works? Is it the delivery of the product or service? Is it the actual product or service? Is it the way that you target your market? Is it your marketing strategy and execution? Is it the leadership in your company? Is it how there's communication and transparency? Is it your profit and your profit model, your business model? What would other businesses want to emulate from what you do? And consider, where are you getting your business models? Are you inventing them? Is it just how you think it's done? You know, is it by kind of evolution? Well, we started off here and then we just found ourselves in this place and it works and it's worked for our product or service. Well, here's the opportunity to step outside of it and look at how business is done. You know, there are definitely aspects of my company that are worthy of modeling. Absolutely. I would anywhere, you know, stand strong behind it, stalwart. And yet it was interesting because even in looking at my own company, there was one place, and if you look back historically, it was around response in terms of communication, timely responses. And there was an interesting thing that I observed. So here's like, you know, I'm opening up the doors and, you know, ignore that man behind the curtain. This is truth be told. And by all counts, from my early days on Wall Street when I bought a seat on the stock exchange and built Sabin & Associates and expanded into the growth management group, I've had a lot of success by anyone's criteria. And the team and the company has done great work, really impacting the planet. And, you know, we worked with clients in over 39 countries and we've done some really, I've initiated some really foolish mistakes, right? So consider that wherever you are, you know, good judgment comes from experience and experience comes from poor judgment. So, you know, as Mary Kay Ash said, who built a multi-billion-dollar company with no debt, pure cash, that she started in her mid-40s, entrepreneur of the century. You know, these are the people that you want to look at. These are the people that you want to model. You want to take something from what they did. Not all of it. Pick and choose. That's the beautiful thing here. It's a buffet, and you get to pick and choose. But very often what happens to us as businesses is we get in patterns and habits, and we don't step out and reexamine and relook at them. And I promise you, it's profit holes. You don't even realize whether it's through somebody leaving the organization or your business. I don't care if you got three people and someone leaves. The human capital you just lost, all the time, energy, and resources invested in that person, whether it was that you didn't vet them enough at the beginning or whether you didn't give them what they needed to be successful, whether there wasn't a platform to hear what their needs were, where they were getting bored and were starting to make mischief, or it wasn't a match for the company, or it wasn't being monitored. You know, something like that, especially in a small company, is a huge loss of capital. Human capital and the time, energy, and resources invested, and then the time, energy, and resources invested in replacing that person. I mean, that's one small example. That's one small example. But we're circling back to, you know, what are some of the structures that you have in your business that are there because they just kind of grew into it that way. So here's an opportunity for us to step back, take the reins, and revisit and redesign, kind of redecorate, if you will. So I was, you know, telling one on myself in terms of the communication. And what I noticed, and this is really interesting, was, and this is certainly going back to the earlier days of the company, was there were some things that were responded to immediately on the ball, on a dime, complete integrity, a match for the vision I had for the company, a match for my standards, and there were other stuff that were delayed. I'd dodge it, I'd avoid it, I'd think about it, and yet I wouldn't get on the horn and make that next step call. And something I noticed were two things that were informing that. And I want to know if this resonates with you. One was, it was something that was bigger than myself. And I was up against my own limitations. I was scared I would screw it up. So rather than deal with it, what I do is I dodge it or avoid it. It sounds almost silly and young, but it's so human. And especially in organizations and businesses that are in the earlier stages, notice if this is happening in your world. The other side of that coin was when there, it wasn't following up. So it wasn't that I was stepping into something bigger and for whatever reason I was scared, overwhelmed, whatever it was. The other side of that was there was something that was off about it. There was something uncommunicated. There was an integrity issue. It wasn't quite right. And there was this niggling in the back of my head. I am so bottom line and pragmatic, like an idiot savant when it comes to math and numbers, and yet I'm this business creative. And I would always have the part of me that was numbers oriented, pragmatic, trump anything that felt funky. Now, after decades of doing what I do and growing and, as I said, making some very foolish and very, very expensive mistakes, I've learned to trust myself in a completely different way than I did in the earlier days. In the earlier days, numbers trumped everything. The numbers don't lie. And I still believe that. However, there is something else that goes into the formula. So here I had these two dynamics. One was that I was scared and up against it. And the other was that it was off. Now, this comprised a small component of what I was involved in. I always played big games, and not everything scared me. You know, in my out of university, buying a seat on the stock exchange and starting a company is no small task, especially being the youngest woman at the time to do that. So I didn't mind stepping into the world of the unknown and taking big strategic risks. That was fine. But yet there were those certain deals that I was involved in, and I knew I was stepping into that next level of growth. And at times I would, you know, withdraw. And so why am I saying this? Because even in a business, and I have a boutique company and have always had a boutique company and a great team that I'm proud of the work we do. And yet, if I look across the board and am really honest and tell the truth, no hard bars hold, that there were aspects, and I'm looking at it now again, because this is something I do annually. Where is the upgrade? Where can we raise our standards? Where can we trump ourselves? It's not about the competition. It's not about those who do what we do. I look around. I'm always, always aware of what's happening in the industry, what's happening around me. Yet, I'm looking out to the horizon. I'm not waiting for someone else to do it. That's the leadership. That's the part that's the added value. That's why our clients love us and come back for more. So I'm curious, have you taken a real hard look at your business? And based on last week's questions, what are the best practices that another business would want to model who is starting out from the way you operate? If you have a physical location, look around the physicality of it. Take pictures and look at them. Show them to other people. What don't you see anymore? Because you've been in there so often. And there's just a real opportunity here for growth. We're going to go on to the next topic when we get back. But right now, we're going to take a break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Costa, host of The Costa Report. Our guest this week is going to give us a rare look into the world of global hackers. The author of We Are Anonymous, Parmi Olson, will be here to tell us how hackers have assaulted Visa, PayPal, Sony Entertainment, even the Vatican. This is one program you don't want to miss. Join Parmi Olson this Tuesday at 6 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in for What About Wealth every week to learn the vital answers to your questions about creating wealth, investing it, donating it, and protecting it. Your hosts are Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee, who explain the principles that govern wealth in terms you can understand. Building and preserving positive wealth requires correct action, but few people know how wealth really works. Listen every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and find the answers you need about wealth.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back. And today what we're doing is a continuation of last week. And we're exploring some of the concerns, considerations, questions of the listeners and also people who have approached me from other venues. And we were just discussing, you know, best practices and also where are the profit holes in your business? Because I promise you, where there are not, where the standards are low, you're losing money. Now, this is really interesting because the heartbeat of a business, the measure of a success of a business is its ability to generate revenue. Right? That, the business, that doesn't mean that you don't have a great product or service. Now hear me out. This is really critical. You could have a fantastic chef and they can create a restaurant that fails. The business of the restaurant will fail. That doesn't mean that the chef's food is not stellar. And when I talk about best practices, it's such a jargon term, and I'm not about jargon. It's, you know, doing the best everywhere and then trumping that. This isn't about perfection. This isn't about, you know, hiding behind the curtain and getting everything, every T crossed and I dotted so that you miss opportunities. You know, there are some companies who have found great ways to handle that piece. Google's one of them. They have their consumers be involved in the beta so they know that they're creating what they want while others are waiting and, you know, perfecting and then launching and then discovering what the bugs are. Two different philosophies. Business models, both have generated a lot of profits. Be interesting to notice the correlation between the charting the profits over the period of time in terms of spikes and dips and spikes and dips and the use of kind of manpower and energy and what the impact on a brand. But I digress. So where are your profit holes? What do I mean? You're in business, the definition of business is a sale or purchase of goods and services with an attempt to make a profit. That's what a business is. And, you know, our guests on this show are extraordinary men and women. Why are they extraordinary? Because, you know, they're no different than any of us in terms of capacities or capabilities, but they stay started and they learn. All the guests that come in the show are successful and accomplished, and they're in the middle of their journey. They're tripping up. They're making the hard decisions. They're in it and working on it. You know, it's interesting. I have one aspect of the company works with smaller businesses, and that's my sweet spot. That's what I love to do. And there was this woman who is very, very well known for what she does. Really, really good. A great reputation in the community in terms of being civically involved on boards, etc. And part of what was involved with almost a year with a particular entity, contracting with them, and kept delaying and putting off. This is going back to what I mentioned in the first half. There was this kind of drawn out process that could have been accelerated, handled, and done. And what was behind that was this was the first time that this individual was replacing what they did with a team. So this is the first time that this person was creating scalability in their business. And there was such a gravitational pull to kind of do it themselves versus to realize that by taking, having others work under the umbrella of the company as independent contractors, that this person can do, could do the work that would be billed at thousands and tens of thousands, while those individuals could be doing the work that was getting billed at hundreds and thousands. But that letting go, that next stage, that next step. Here's what I know, that that contract is in effect now, and all of a sudden it's like popcorn popping. That person kind of broke through that wall, that resistance, that fear, and is now at that next level. I always use tennis as an example. If you play tennis, if you don't, it still makes sense. If when you start beginner's tennis, and if you've ever played a sport or done something new, this will make sense. When you play beginner's tennis, essentially you're gawky, you're losing, it's not fluid. And then you get the muscle memory and you play, and the next thing you know, you've mastered beginner's tennis and now you're winning all the time and you're not being challenged and it's not as much fun. So then you make the next move to intermediate tennis, and guess what? You're going to get your butt kicked because it's better than you. They're better than you. The standards, the level of play. Doesn't mean that you won't hold your own at times, but in terms of consistency, you're not there yet. So with each level of growth, there's this kind of incredible momentum and flow, and like it's popcorn popping for her right now, and then there's going to be that next level for her. But she had to be willing to step into that next level. What is next for your business? And where are the profit holes? This show is not about just pretty neat little stories. And here's how I made my multi-millions. And here's how I raised the $50 million for my company and then went public. And, you know, we did presentations. We worked really hard. Yes, but there's so much more to that. And for any one of us who's ever grown a business, we know that. And that's the stuff. That's the richness. That's what other business owners who are, you know, in whatever stage of their journey in growth and development in terms of cultivating the most profitable, scalable business that they can, a healthy, sustainable enterprise or entity. You know, they need, and we need to hear these things so we know that, you know, this isn't new. And you know what? Like I said, ignore that man on the other side of the curtain. So where are the profit holes in your business and how do we find it? How do we find out what the profit holes are in your business? Well, it takes dancing between being inside your business and outside your business. It takes looking at your systems, finding out what your customer experience is. By the way, if you spend all your time looking internally and aren't connected, tuned in, tapped into the consumer experience, the purchasing experience, the accessibility experience, the delivery experience, the use of your product experience. And here's what's really important. It's not just from those who are raving fans. What about those who aren't advocates? Why? Now, here's the deal. You don't have to listen to what they're saying as the gospel. It's not the truth. It's their truth. They may or may not even be your target market. They may have purchased the weight training equipment and weren't consistent in using it or use it as a clothes hanger. It wasn't a match. So it's not about having that be the truth, but there's really value in listening to their truth and then moving on. Taking the lessons, taking what could be of value and not just dismissing it. because some of there could be gold that you're going to find in there that's going to make that one tweak, and you realize that, you know what? Because of the phone system we have, and because I don't have an extra person on the phone, people are being on hold, being put on hold for 2.5 minutes. And while that doesn't sound like a long time, get on a phone, have someone say, hold on, and then sit there for 150 seconds in a Twitter world, in a microwave world, and see how many people hang up. Are you measuring that? Do you even know how many people hang up? Now, this might sound like minutia, but imagine if you could capture those people who hung up who would have been a consumer of your product or service, if you could convert it X amount into clients or utilizing your product or service or whatever it is. And what would be the cost of an extra person or whatever is wanted or needed, or the system as an investment that would ultimately be generating greater profitability and a sustainable profitability. So there's some thinking and some navigating to do. This is, you know, a type of executive thinking of working on our business, because for so many of us, we're in our business, and that's great. You know, bell rings, buzzer goes off, game on. But it is so important to be able to step back and evaluate and analyze what's working, what's not working, and if it is working, how could it work better? In other words, where are the potential profit holes? So these are all considerations for our business. Now, this opens up a whole nother line of inquiry, right? So we've got looking at what other companies would want to model from us, looking at systems and routines and habits that we've gotten in, because that's the way we started. There's a whole nother dynamic, which is around being decisive, the ability to make executive decisions. And then there's another piece that I also want to make sure we explore, which is not just about decision making, but it's about sales, marketing, and collaboration. Huh? Not that those three automatically go together. So for the rest of our show together, we're going to be exploring sales, marketing, and collaboration. And we're going to start there. Right now, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to resume with that topic.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kurt Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel, and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. And today we're exploring some of your questions, your considerations, your challenges, and the things that you've mentioned that you're interested in so that we could get some ideas, raise some new questions that will hopefully elicit a new approach, right? Now, we've discussed a bit about best practices, profit holes, all those type of things, things we do well, things that we don't do well. There is something I want to circle back to, and I realized that I didn't complete it. And that was, I had mentioned that there were times earlier in the initial stages of the business, for sure, when, well, I'd say 85% of the time, spot on, return, you know, anything that came into my world in terms of communication, whether it was the email was not prevalent in those days. So if it was a phone call or a letter was responded to in an extremely timely fashion, very, very proactive. And yet there was that maybe, I mean, 15% is probably generous, but it just seems that way. There were those that I didn't. And what I realized was I was either dodging and avoiding because I was scared. It was a big game, or it was something that I just felt so out of my league. So it was a confidence issue. And the other was a trust issue. There was something that was off and I was kind of driving with the brakes on. Now, I want you to know too, what I did to get to the other side of it was I just remembered who I was. And once I recognized that that was going on, kind of like naming it, it gave me, and this might sound trite to some of you, but if you've ever been in this place, it's going to resonate. It's going to make sense. When you've been up against it, when your knees have been shaking, when you realize like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get back to this later. Even though you're someone who's proactive and initiator, it's still behind closed doors. You're dragging your feet. Now, I remembered who I was. That simple. I remembered that if I didn't take the shot, I didn't have a chance of it getting in the basket. Again, trite, but true. That I would rather lose the Super Bowl, but have the opportunity to get there, or the World Cup. I got back to having a choice. And I realized that it was all these things haunting me. Kind of like if you plan on going for a run in the morning and you don't, it haunts you for the rest of the day. That kind of haunting. So there was that piece. And then the other piece was me really getting clear on what about this particular thing is off to me. Why is the smoke alarm going off? What is it that I need to ask or communicate or resolve? What is it that I need to have in a contract so that that concern is handled? I remember one of my first deals, I raised $5 million for a company, and this was, you know, I was in my early 20s and it was in the early 90s, whatever. And I got a lunch. And all along, I suspected something because it was a handshake and we didn't have a contract and something was off and I wasn't timely and everything. I raised the money, but I got a lunch and a handshake and a thank you. I didn't trust myself, and I wasn't, for whatever reason, saying, you know what, I'm putting the brakes on this till we have something in writing. So the whole way I was kind of dragging myself through this process, convincing myself, maybe it was to prove I could do it, And it's just, you know, for those of us who love the work we do and we are challenged by the accomplishment, you know, and it's just, there's always room for more. Like, we're coming from that place that I just presume. The other piece was, remember, for those of you who know me and might know my history, I spent so many years building the business on the floor of the stock exchange, one of those people screaming and yelling, and your word is your bond. So there was this piece that was also very naive in the sense that I thought if someone said X, they meant X and they were held to X because that was the world that I grew up in. That level of integrity. 5/8 for a million, sold, done. It's handled. It's done. There's no reneging. There's no, it's just in the moment because you said so. So there's that whole contributing factor. But I did want everyone to know at least how I dealt with it. And I still have to deal with that because as the company still grows and expands, as we enter new markets, as we launch new products, as the team gets bigger, as I let go of more and more things and I create other new programs and products, there still is that level of that, you know, and it's healthy. However, there's a self-awareness now and there's different habits and practices. So there's something hopefully that will make a difference to some of our listeners in regards to that. There's another piece here, and that is to cultivate the skill of being decisive. Of being decisive. And being decisive is such an important component of building a successful business. You don't want to drive across a bridge from that was built by someone who was not decisive. We don't want to get on an airplane that was put together by a company that is noted for not being decisive. You know, not the company, but the people in the organization. So what is your decision-making model? Have you even thought about this? What informs the decisions you make? And how long does it take you to make a decision? Can you make a decision now? And what are the criteria that you consider? And what many people notice is their strengths. As I mentioned before, I would always look at, you know, certainly the law, the ethics. I mean, that for me is a given, but I'm articulating it because, you know, it's so woven into the fabric that sometimes we can't even discern the things that go into how we go about. So we're deconstructing it, right? So certainly ethics and laws, et cetera. But then the first thing I look at are the numbers. Does it make sense in terms of that aspect of the health and well-being of the business? It's like somebody who's looking at their cholesterol count or their weight or their waist, like they're using that as a criteria gauge of should I eat this fantastic, you know, dessert, right? So I always look at the numbers because for me, if it's not a match for the numbers, then automatically I'm looking at the other things in a different light. I'm considering the risk and the risk in a strategic sense because I will promise you there's nothing you can do to grow your business or do better or bigger or upgrade without taking a risk. It's all a risk. And, you know, it's just what is the level of risk? What is the degree? Because we have no idea. When we ask a question, we don't even know what the answer is going to be if it's an authentic question. Right? Now, there are some of us who are trained by the nature of our professions to ask questions that elicit certain answers and responses. And those are people who typically are in advertising, sales, marketing, and the legal profession. And also politicians. But I digress. So, In terms of being decisive, you know, how many people talk about it? That's why I love this show and what we do here. So notice your decision-making model. Do you consider the consumer? Do you consider your team? Do you consider the possible negative consequences? I mean, the consequences if you move forward the name of the show, and the consequences if you choose not to move forward taking that particular action. So what does it cost you to do it, and what does it cost you not to do it? Now, these questions, you know, and then what is your intuition, your gut, your knowing tell you? And I promise, for many of us, that might be the thing that is the ultimate. You know, everything looks good, but something's telling me not to move forward with this. Do you trust that? How can you discern if it's that kind of fear creeping in, you know, that, you know, not willing to step into a brave new world, and there really is something that for some reason is telling me it's off, the same way that kind of, you know, animals can sense that there's a storm coming. And probably men and women who live closer to nature than I do could also sense it. And I don't mean just because, like, the sky gets gray and it's clouds. I mean long before there are visible signs that would inform even the most checked out person that there's a storm coming. So, you know, to notice, are you decisive? How do you know? And what is your decision-making model? What informs your decision? And what is indecision costing your business? What is it costing your well-being? What is it costing your team in terms of not knowing what to move forward on, what not to move forward on? You know, the cost of indecision. And there's another piece that goes with that, and that's communication. I have been in so many companies, and, you know, nod your head if you're with me, where there is such more communication within the company that it creates gossip, dissatisfaction, disconnecting. I tell you, we are a very, very creative species. And when there is a gap, you know, a law of physics is nature abhors a vacuum. When there's a gap, you know we're making stuff up that, you know, would be a fantastic miniseries. So when there's that void, you know, what happens? Very often, that comes from indecision. Or a lack of a best practice, a lack of a structure of communicating and creating something where your team is informed and feels informed. And feels the form informed. Ugh, this could even be so young. It's like two kids whispering on the playground and you can't hear what they're saying. I mean, so for there's and to be even able to communicate, there's aspects of this that are not prudent to tell you, and here's what we can tell, or here's what is important to know right now. But communicate something, right? And if you've been in an organization or a small company or a business that operates that way, there's one thing that you know isn't happening. That's trust, that's best performance, and that's collaboration. And when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about collaboration and also marketing and sales. But for now, we're going to take a break.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. Today we're addressing our listeners' questions and interests and challenges and concerns and everything that's been communicated. We're discussing a full spectrum of things as an extension of last week and the feedback that we that was received regarding it. You know, was really supportive. There's something I want to circle back to. Before the break, I was talking about, you know, in a business, it doesn't matter what size the business is, how things are communicated to those who work within the business and the potential impact that could have. This goes back to profit holes and what we call, you know, best practices or things that other businesses would want to model after you. You know, if you saw the movie of this, would you be – which character would you want to play? How would you rewrite the script? But there's another piece in there which is also depending on the nature of the structure and the perceived consequences. I worked with a Fortune 100 company and I noticed – because you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to notice this one. It was kind of like watching a sporting event and you just, you know, it's a foul. You know, it was a poor pass, that a fumble's going to happen. It was just inevitable. And I'm watching the way that this company had structured their report. So the person, there was like the C-suite and then their direct reports and then the people reported to them. So the kind of the top tier of the company. And by the time the person who was in the C-suite received the report from their direct reports, things were made so neat and tidy. It was like a game of telephone. And if you're not familiar with the children's game of telephone, that's when a bunch of people, a bunch of little children typically, sit in a circle and one person whispers something in one of the children's ears, and it might be, you know, Susan has a green lollipop. And by the time the last person says it, it's like the canary sings at midnight. Because as it's communicated and it gets changed up. So notice what is the environment and the culture that you've created. Now, these are some very kind of jargony terms. You may say, you know what, there's two of us or there's three of us or I have a restaurant. I don't think in terms of culture. What is your style? How would people describe it? I'm not talking about branding, although this is something that is a part of branding and influence branding. But notice what is the dynamic you're creating? And are you, as the person who owns the business or even as the person who works in the business, are you taking responsibility for your part in this? You know, for some, it's a tough question to look in the mirror and really be honest about. I mean, as if there's, you know, any option. What are you justifying? What are you defending? You know, look behind that door, because I promise you there's gold and probably a healthier and more fun experience. And I don't mean fun in terms of frivolous. I mean proud, inspired, on fire, engaged, you know, building, creating, doing whatever it is that had you want to have this entity, build this business. And so notice what you've created in terms of people not being comfortable saying what's really going on. You know, what needs to be put in place? Is it more interaction on a more frequent basis? You know, is it making sure that people know that if you don't hear the real deal, is it that people are scared for their jobs? You know, has there been a level of mediocrity? Are there resources that aren't being used properly? It's amazing what shows up when you start doing this. And what's so interesting is when you start creating an environment where there's from bottom up and top down a different experience of communication and transparency. And I don't mean everybody needs to know everything, by no means. There's discernment, but there's also to make sure that people are in the know that there's stuff going on. Adults are not fools. And then people, once people feel betrayed, once you lose trust, you know, in a millisecond that happens, it's like, you know, you've torn the paper. So with that being said, how high and mighty that sounds, right? But just notice it, and where do you begin? Well, the first thing to do is to be responsible for your part in it and look at the structures and systems and the consequences or the perceived consequences. And if you think it's business as usual, then that's your choice, right? So to at least have a choice. You know, and that, what that leads to, an environment where people have the ability to express. And I don't mean vent, where everyone's responsible for kind of honoring other people, being responsible for, you know, what they say. And there's nothing wrong with conflict on an, you know, consistent conflict indicates something else. But conflict is healthy, right? Conflict, the difference between disagreement and conflict is usually that there's something emotional there. It's a different level. A disagreement might be you want Italian instead of Thai or Indian food. But, you know, a conflict are two positions. And if you're not willing to have conflicts and shift those to where it's, you know, confrontational to a conversation where people could stop talking and start listening. They don't have to agree, but imagine what could be created. The other thing is that fosters an environment of collaboration. And I promise you, in your team, there's gold. There's ideas that you never thought of. There's enhancements. There's opportunities. I remember literally when I was at a client's global headquarters and somebody came in that was a vendor of theirs. And I was just curious because of the division that I was working with. I asked them who handled that. And as a result, they became a client of the organization that they were a vendor of in terms of a different area of asset management. Now, nobody thought to ask. You have no idea whose cousins, brothers, uncles, what experience, who was so-and-so's roommate. You have no idea where the untapped potential gold mines are in your organization, from your team, from their ideas, from their thoughts, and especially from those out in the field, from those who are dealing with the clients. And then on the other hand, it's also making sure that the team is representing the product, the service, the brand in the way that you want them to, or that's consistent, you know, in that consistency more than quote unquote you want them to. So what does this all have to do with marketing and sales? Marketing sales is such a big topic, right? I love it. And, you know, what is marketing? Really raised awareness, all the different vehicles, whether it's paid for, advertising, et cetera, whether it's PR, whether it's social media, you know. We're not going to have much time to go into that, regrettably. And sales, are you tracking your numbers weekly, daily? What's your system for tracking the numbers? And what I'm curious about is, do you know how many lost sales, how many sales were not realized? So what most people typically do is they look at the sales themselves, but do you have any idea how many weren't closed, so to speak? How many people walked in the restaurant and chose not to eat there? How many people walked into the store and didn't buy anything? How many people went to your website and selected and chose not to purchase? There, you know, it, as this is why I always look at the numbers. There's an opportunity there. So there's two things, and if there's one thing that I would hope everyone is taking away from this is to not just be in your business. And I know that, you know, there's great resources for this, you know, at an early stage level, the E-Myth, Michael Gerber, you know, in terms of resources, there's online resources, there's, you know, just fabulous opportunities in terms of SCORE and the United States and things like that. But it is so important for you not just to be in your business, but for you to be working on your business. There's what you do, and there's the business of what you do. You might be the greatest chef in the world, and the business of being in a restaurant might fail. You might be a phenomenal consultant, but the business of consulting isn't working for you. You might have an amazing product, but the business of manufacturing, marketing, delivering, the whole infrastructure isn't working. So for everyone, please continue to reach out with questions, sharing stories, call in, you know, absolutely love to hear from our listeners and those involved, and continue to stay tuned in to learn more from our fantastic guests. Consider some of the questions. If you're going to walk away with anything this week, where can you raise your standards and where are the profit holes? And for everyone, make this week a moving forward week. Thank you.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Sabin again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Make your week a Moving Forward week.